Brighton TV in Espanol.
All right, my fellow Americans, the Sheriff Mac Show continues with the good sheriff. Welcome, sir.
Well, Sam, it's great to be back with you this beautiful Tuesday morning. And I mean, it is beautiful here in Arizona. And it's an opportunity to be back on the show, right here on TV, the Sheriff Mac Show. Thanks for covering for me. And I have a hunch you're going to be doing this a lot more in the near future.
Okay. All right, you got a quote, sir, from your Supreme Court case to kick us off as we expose the crime syndicate election tyranny in Arizona coming up as well, right?
Yes, absolutely. The most powerful 10th Amendment decision and probably the most powerful decision pushing back against the federal government for its overreach. Of course, we're talking about the Clinton administration. And in this quote, Scalia is referring to the Constitution. And he says, quote, "It divides power among sovereigns and among branches of government precisely so that we may resist the temptation to concentrate power in one location as an expedient solution to the crisis of the day," end quote. The crisis of the day. Sam, boy, does Scalia address what's going on in America today. I love the decision.
He's expressed,
I love what he did.
He's expressed the solution, the reality check on many crises since the decision was rendered over 25 years ago. But I want to highlight this point to add to Scalia's educating the American people on the truth, and that is this. You know, the muscles of state sovereignty are weak, Sheriff. Why? Because states have not exercised their authority. Do they have the authority? Yes. Do they have the power? No. Because their muscles are weak and they've simply shirked their duty. They've jettisoned their responsibility for so long they don't understand how to exercise the muscles and tell the feds to take a hike when warranted. We need to learn to do that. We need to nullify now. Okay? The federal government can't interfere with, alter, meddle with, or manipulate the constitutional reality of any state. Okay, this has been known for quite some time. Our founding fathers knew it. Anthony Scalia knew it. And we need to know it as well. All right, we got a significant CSPOA update that everybody ought to know. Sheriff, do you want to do the announcement here?
Well, the reason I haven't been on as much is that I've taken a full-time position with AFLDS, the America's Frontline Doctors. I've served, as you know very well, I've served on their board of directors for the past year, and they have gone through some extensive turmoil within the organization, and I was asked to help remedy the problems that they're having and try to get the organization back on mission. And I have accepted the position, and it's just going to cut into my CSPOA time. I'm not leaving CSPOA, but I am turning it, as you very well know, over to you to run the daily affairs of the CSPOA. I still love and believe in the CSPOA. It's been my life. It's who I am. I still believe more now than ever that we need constitutional sheriffs standing for liberty, standing against tyranny. And if the sheriffs of this country, if a third, even maybe perhaps a fourth of the sheriffs, which would be about 700, if we had a fourth of the sheriffs standing unitedly, in the holy cause of liberty, in defense of liberty and defending our citizens, there's not one single issue that they could not stop. The abuse of government, the corruption of government, the abuse of and bullying of the IRS, FBI weaponized as a political hit squad now, all of that could be remedied by sheriffs uniting and standing together and telling all tyrants, you will not commit any of your crimes in my county. And man, if we had 700, 800, 1,000 sheriffs doing that, there would be no stopping us. We could restore the principles of liberty as described in our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. That could happen and would happen tomorrow. And so we still have a lot of work to do. And Sam, I want to thank you publicly for accepting the position of CEO of the CSPOA so I can take, I would call it a kind of a hiatus for a year. My contract with AFLDS is 1 year. And after that, I intend to re-examine everything that's happening at CSPOA and see what my role will be. I have for some time, as you know, Sam, wanted more sheriffs, former sheriffs and current sheriffs, to take a more active role in the training and in the public presentations that I've been knocking myself out to do. As you know, I did 72 public presentations last year in 2021. Another thing about this whole thing is next month I will be 70 years old. I know. Thank you very much, everybody. I know I don't look it. Thank you. But I'm going to be 70, and I'm going to look at everything going on with my life and with my family and my wife and see what I need to do. And maybe I can semi-retire. I don't know. I really don't know. But I'll examine it with you in a year.
But let's make a few things clear. Sheriff Mack is going to be on the newly formalized board of advisors. Mm-hmm. We've had a board now that's been kind of informal. I will formalize that more. Sitting sheriffs, constitutional attorneys, those are the people that will be on the board. Sheriff Mack will chair the board and remain the founder of CSPOA, and he also remains in complete control of the organization now. I will run the day-to-day as the CEO. We wanted to announce that. I'm not really into titles, but we need people to know who to kind of go to for day-to-day solutions, et cetera. So we're just calling it a significant CSPOA update. The goal is expansion. We're going to have more sitting sheriffs involved at our presentations, our trainings, et cetera. We're going to be doing a lot of things with the board. We've got a lot of opportunities. We're going to be focusing a lot on election integrity problems, as you well know. We're going to be focusing on asset forfeiture and the right to keep and bear arms, the First and Second Amendments, how we can work with our sheriffs to make sure that we create constitutional counties all over the country using the incredible CSPOA resolution. So think of this as an expansion of the CSPOA, and Richard Mack just simply cannot do everything himself. Do not think of this as him not being involved, because that's not even close to the truth. All right, I don't give an F, blankety, star, the son of former G. Gordon Liddy, or the deceased G. Gordon Liddy, drops F-bombs and gets out of control. What happened was, I guess there was a phone call by a campaign worker for Carrie Lake, and he basically called up the Maricopa County attorney, Tom Liddy, and it turned into an obscenity-laced explosion on the part of Tom Liddy, or the government official, if you will. I don't know if you know that, but Tom Liddy is an attorney for Maricopa County, and what happened was he just went ballistic. So campaign worker was saying, hey, you know, we really need to get accurate information from you. We're asking these questions. You know, we're putting out a lot of information, getting a lot of information. We don't want it to be inaccurate. Then Tom goes ballistic and says, are you threatening me? And the campaign worker's like, no, this is not a threat. I'm just telling you, we want to make sure the information we're getting from you is accurate. He says, I don't give a shiz. He then goes on and says, blankety blank, F this, F that. We can't even play the audio. There's an audio and a video clip I wanted to play. But then as we evaluated it, we could bleep out the audio, but right on the screen, it throws out the F-bomb as it quotes Tom Liddy. And so we've just got to kind of point to the story. It's in WorldNet Daily. No, let's see. It's not WorldNet Daily for that one, is it? Anyway, Joe Kovacs, WorldNet Daily. Sorry. Joe Kovacs, yeah. WorldNet Daily highlights this story. And I'm just telling you right now, if there's not problems with the election, why would Tom Liddy, the attorney for Maricopa County, just drop an F-bomb to a campaign worker who was extremely polite?
What's the problem?
Well, the problem is they know there's problems, Sheriff. They know there's an election crime syndicate going on, and they know we're going to stop them. And they're literally freaking out as we get closer every second to the truth, Sheriff.
Well, maybe he's sick and tired of people calling, and he's finally broke under the pressure of taking too many calls or questions about it. I'm trying to be fair with him, but first of all, he should be more professional than that. And if he doesn't want to talk to him, just hang up.
Well, my response to Tom would be this. Why don't you address our concerns openly, candidly, transparently, right, so that we can get to the bottom of this and quit playing games? When you're an attorney, you're not an attorney to defend the crime syndicate, Tom. You're an attorney to get to the truth. You swore an oath to the United States of America, protecting us from enemies, foreign and domestic, and that includes crime syndicate, election, I don't know what you call them, manipulators?
Well, anyway, I knew his dad very well, and we were very good friends.
Yeah.
And he had me on a show about a dozen times, and G. Gordon Liddy and I shared the same stage numerous times. He was an amazing American icon. His story is phenomenal. But I don't believe G. Gordon Liddy would support his son's vulgarity or his lack of control. He should be professional. He is paid by the taxpayers of Maricopa County. And he should simply say, look, we're looking into it. I can't divulge everything that's going on, but we appreciate everybody's concern, and we're trying to get to the bottom of everything that happened in this election. But that's all he needed to say.
Agreed. But when you're the attorney, though, and you're asked questions and you say you don't give a shiz, I'm kind of saying, you know what? You don't have any right as an attorney. He should be fired over this. And then to start dropping F-bombs to a very polite campaign person, and then to say, it sounds like you're threatening me. You can hear the phone call. There is no threat. Go listen to it, WND.com. I'd love to play it, but we can't because it's got the F-bomb on the screen. It'd take too long to block all that out. But all I'm telling you is, look, the attorney that's responsible for this, all right, has no right when you're a government official to literally tell citizens, I don't give a sh, and then dropping the F-bomb. Okay, I'm just telling you, it's out of line, unacceptable, and especially when they're claiming there's no election problems at all. You know, it's that, okay, Josh Barnett, who was running on the Republican ticket in Arizona now, says the machines were never properly certified by the appropriate accredited company. So I guess that's according to state law. I guess what happened was, let me see how this is. It's 26-442B is the law that they point to. You see, so if they don't have certified machines, you know what? Then those votes on those machines are illegal votes. Okay? And I guess the Maricopa County recorder, Stephen Richer, was lying because he said that the vote machines were all certified, but he failed to mention that it was not by an accredited company. So now we're playing games with the certification of the machines, Sheriff. Do you want to respond to that before we?
Stephen Richer also said that the day before they made sure all the machines were operating appropriately, and that the ink in the printing machines had also been checked. And obviously that was a lie. Okay.
Well, maybe and then they lied further. They lied further, Sheriff, because they claimed that it was limited tabulation problems. Now it turns out that 11 roving attorneys are all stating, you know what? It wasn't near limited like they claim. It was much more broad, affecting over 60% of the machines for a much more significant portion of the voting day than they alluded to in the first place. So this is why when we press, Tom starts dropping F-bombs because he knows we're getting close. Right.
The result, though, of that is no matter how many machines were inoperable or not operating 100%, people were told to go to a different place. Their ballots were put in a different receptacle that nobody's used before. Nobody knows how secure those were or where they went. But this is what happened. People were told to go to a different place. Then there, some of them were told, no, you got to go to a different place to go vote. And by the time people actually got to vote at a polling place that was actually working and operable, they had to get back to work. They had to get back home. They had to get their kids to school. They had to go on with their lives. And taking that much time yes, it did disenfranchise people. We just simply don't know how many. But it was because Maricopa County did not have their act together. They did not know what they were doing.
You got that right. So, and that brings up our guest, Robert McDowell, and he's going to provide an update on the various counties in Arizona now that are simply refusing to certify the fraudulent election in Arizona. Robert, welcome to the Sheriff.
Good morning. Good morning.
Well, all right. You want to comment on what we've said thus far?
Well, as resident of Mojave County, we're glad to hear that because Maricopa County makes up over 2/3 of the electorate, at least it's kind of helpless out here when they're mismanaging what they're doing. So Cochise County, Yavapai County, Ela County have all said, hey, until you get your act together, we're not going to certify this election, which, of course, forces their hand to do something. And now Mojave County has joined in as a show of unity that we're not willing to tolerate it either. There's no confusion in Mojave County who won the election here. And we ran our elections correctly. And but we can obviously see through Maricopa some of the mathematical things that stand out. For example, how in the world did the treasurer, we know how it worked, but how in the world did the treasurer get 400,000 more votes than anyone in the election? And then on top of that, you have the mine inspector, something obscure, yet it's a state ticket. And so what happened was Republicans have been telling everybody, vote straight ticket, get all the Republicans in we can, and we'll deal with the ones that we don't like after they're in office, but we have to get control. The inspector got 1.6 million votes, double what it's ever happened in history. And so we suspect that that's actually how many votes Carrie Lake got. And then they found a way to massage it and make the votes go away. And this is all going to come out in the wash because, and they're starting to show their hand because on some websites, we're starting to screen grab websites, but on some websites, the number for the mine inspector suddenly is now being changed to zero, or on some websites, it's suddenly being changed to 800,000, but it's too late. We already have it. And there's no way they can undo it. So,
they're literally trying to change the numbers as they were done within the first 2 or 3 days. They're literally trying to change those.
Yes, we have screen grabs. Yes, sir. We have screen grabs of the official Secretary of State's website showing over 1.6 million votes, and yet on other government websites, it's only showing 800,000 votes. And they've actually changed it, or some of the news organizations realizing like, we really need to cover this up. They're starting to show zero results for the mine inspector.
Well, it wasn't zero. It could never be zero, but, okay. So wait, let's go back a little bit. So who's Robert McDowell? Why are you so involved in this? What is your position? Why are you doing this?
Well, you know, I started out as a volunteer for the CSPOA. I met you in Las Vegas, which was a lot of fun. I was a little starstruck with the amazing amount of people who were there. You had people who are leaders in the different things that they do, and they were all in one place. And once I saw that the only way we're going to help ourselves is we have to help ourselves. No one's going to come to rescue us. There's no secret army that's going to race in and save the day. We're on our own. Mm-hmm. And so this is the part that I can do. And I'm really happy that I can play a role in some small way to support that the sheriffs are the most powerful peace officers in the nation.
Well, I really do love your shirt.
Oh, thanks.
So, well, Sheriff, one of the things that we need to really focus on, and I want Robert to respond to this as well, on November 8th, I don't know if you know, but the day of the midterm elections, 11 of the, quote, roving attorneys tasked with observing election processes in the Republican National Committee's, quote, RNC election integrity program in Arizona collectively visited nearly 52% of the county's voting centers. That's according to a memo they've now sent to party officials and candidates. And these roving attorneys, the leader of the group, I guess, is Mark Snengler. And this was obtained by the Daily Caller News Foundation, highlights this problem where 60% of the tabulators had problems for significant portions of the day. This is not a minor issue, and I don't see how they can claim that it is. When you then put these ballots in special bins and then you ship them off elsewhere to be counted, you have literally violated the custody or the chain of custody of ballots here. How can they pretend this is nothing? Robert?
Well, I, you know, here in Mahoning County, fortunately, we don't have the tabulators. We put them into a box and they're tabulated, you know, somewhere else. But it did show online when I confirmed my vote was counted. Now, interestingly, I have friends in Maricopa County who went, a man took his elderly mother to vote and they went together. And they had the troubles that you're talking about. They tried to scan multiple times. Eventually, they went through. And interestingly enough, out of the millions of people that I know in Maricopa County, how is it that I know two people who are related who now went online and showed their vote was not counted? And this is something I stress that people do. The word needs to get out. Go out on the on your voter registration and look up your voter history, and it will show if your vote was counted. And theirs was not. And yet they know they went and they know they did it and they know that the scanner took their ballot.
So the next question becomes, though, when Josh Barnett and others are now saying, look, the machines were never properly certified, this is against state law. Now, this one gentleman basically argues about this. Let's see, what's this guy's name?
Stephen Richard
basically says, yeah, they were certified, but then Josh says, you know, yeah, they might have been verified, certified, but not by a certified company, according to the law. That means all votes are bogus and illegal. We'll talk about that in seconds on the Sheriff Mac Show right here on Brighteon.tv.
Watch I'm So Screwed on Brighteon TV.
SAT123.com. They have put together a really incredible package, emergency backup communications.
If you don't want to eat GMOs and pesticides in your storable food, choose organic, lab-tested storable food solutions from the Health Ranger store. We are the only emergency food manufacturer in the world that subjects each of our ingredients to rigorous laboratory testing that covers herbicides, heavy metals, aflatoxins, identity testing, and bacteria tests, including E. coli, salmonella, yeast, and mold. At healthrangerstore.com, you'll find certified organic, lab-tested, freeze-dried fruits, microalgae superfoods, protein powders, and supplements. We offer emergency first aid colloidal silver products made with Texas rainwater, and our Ranger buckets feature an impressive assortment of organic storable food items professionally vacuum sealed in heavy-duty bags that are stacked in rugged buckets for long-term storage. Check out our preparedness foods, supplements, personal care, and emergency first aid products at healthrangerstore.com.
This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now. Post your videos today and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com.
SAT123.com. They have put together a really incredible package, emergency backup communication systems, power systems. We've got sat phones, we've got solar panels, and also the big 400 watt solar panel behind us there. And why does this matter? Because of course, right now we are dealing with massive risk of blackouts, and the power grid is just failing, you know, intermittently, but it's going to get worse because we've also got energy shortages. Think about the lack of coal power, the diesel problems that are happening right now. If you're in the military or the National Guard or Border Patrol or law enforcement and you need to be able to function even when the power grid goes down, or maybe you're a first responder, rescue team, firefighter, paramedic, you name it,
you need to know about this equipment. So SAT123.com, folks.
All right, welcome back. Our guest, Robert McDowell, who's following these election shenanigans. Some are saying, don't dare call it shenanigans, Sam. It's way beyond that. It's literally the crime election syndicate. And I have a hard time disagreeing with him. But the various counties in Arizona now are getting so concerned about this, they're now refusing to certify the fraudulent elections. And Josh Barnett was running for office, but now he's saying, hey, these machines were never properly certified. The leaders say, yeah, they were. And Josh comes back and says, not by a legally approved, certified company. So all these votes are illegal because they're against the law if they're not properly certified machines. What do you say, Robert?
Right.
Well, you know, the way that everything needs to be done according to the law, that's what's important. You know, if the other side saw us doing something against the law, they wouldn't hesitate to bring it out. But the other thing is, that you have to look at the obvious malfeasance of how they're counting the votes. You know, here in all the outer counties that are almost negated, it's as if our votes aren't going to count, because if not for Maricopa County, for example, Carrie Leak would be the governor-elect without a doubt. So she would have one county that has the ability to offset everything that's going on in 14 other counties, and it's just not right. And we just have to stand up and say, look, we know you're doing it wrong. We did it right. And we're not going to let you run us, you know, railroad us and say, hey, this is the person that we decided is going to be the governor, even though we know that obviously we cheated. So
a follow up question before we turn it over to Sheriff Mack again. The question, mm-hmm. though, is, look, if these machines literally were not properly certified by a, quote, you know, approved company or whatever, right? By an accredited company is, I guess, the term to use, then he's right. All those votes are literally illegal then, aren't they?
Well, they're illegal and they can't be used. And what really needs to happen is we need to do a new election. It's not unheard of. It can be done very quickly, but it needs to be done not by the people who stay in power, who mismanaged the election of 2020, and who know that if Carrie Lake and Mark Finchin of Aberdeen and Senator Masters go into office, they're very likely going to jail. And that's why they're trying to stay in power.
Sheriff Mack, this is insane, because if Josh Barnett's right on this and others, they're saying they're full of conspiracy theories. But look, this is very simple. The company that, quote, did the certification, number one, we need certification proof. Number two, we need accreditation proof. This is a pretty easy thing to prove or disprove, is it not, Sheriff Mack?
Yeah, it is. It is. It absolutely is, Sam, and that's a real good point. You either document who and what company certified your tabulation machines for this election, or you can't. If you can't, then there is no question that there should be a new election. If you used a company that was not certified to do this kind of
accredited,
certification,
what you got to say,
accredited, correct?
Yeah,
good term. And if you did not use an accredited company, then why didn't you? You know, they have to explain that. And if you did not, then this election is null and void. But this is something.
Oh shoot!
I don't think as easy as what you said, Robert. Do you? And yes, it can happen, because we're right now in a new election in Georgia. So we know that new elections can happen, you know?
No wonder Tom's dropping F-bombs, people. He's freaking out, folks.
Yeah, he's freaking out because it's on his watch that this happened. So, look, in logistically and pragmatically, can a new election happen? And if it did, when would it happen?
It'll be probably December 6th probably would be the correct date.
They could do it that quickly.
They better get on it, man.
They could do it that quickly, yeah. And because the people who would be running the new election would not be the people who ran it before.
But let me throw something else out, Robert, to consider. They can do it that quick, but if the machines aren't certified by an accredited company, you can't get them certified by an accredited company that quick. You'd have to go do these paper ballots counted by hand, would you not?
Yes. And if, were not for the machines, we wouldn't have this problem. I watched Mark Fincham this morning. He's a little more knowledgeable than I am. And he said, actually, the only county that needs to do a new election is Maricopa. All the other counties are just fine.
Well, isn't that because the Republicans won in those counties? I mean, why is that? Why is that that we're just picking on Maricopa County?
Well, because most of the objections aren't in the way that they went about it, isn't so much as the results. No one's complaining about the way the other counties perform their elections and how they
did the other counties have certified machines.
Hold on. I am though.
I wish I were the one that got to decide, but I don't. All of us, and it's our election. So the nice thing is that this is great awareness that people need to understand that there's the right way to do things. We're the ones who own the election, and all of us need to stand up and say enough. We want things done right because you're the hired help, and you're not doing it right, and we're tired of you doing it wrong.
Now, one of the interesting things that I want to point out, Sheriff Mack, what they're trying to say across the country, now that we at the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA, have really pushed for and stand behind all 3,000 sheriffs investigating elections in their jurisdictions, what they're fond of saying is, oh, the sheriff doesn't have jurisdiction there. The election commission does, or the this or the that or the other. And my response to these people is, I need you to give me a list of where the sheriff has no authority to deal with criminal activity. And show me that list, and we'll talk about that list. Because I didn't know there was a list that law enforcement had no authority over. Did you, Sheriff?
No. As a matter of fact, if the election commission has committed a crime, the sheriff has every duty and responsibility to investigate them or anyone else. It doesn't matter if this crime was perpetrated by China or Russia or Middle Eastern countries who hate the United States, or a mafia syndicate in New York City. It doesn't matter who commits the crime. The what?
Or grandma socialist?
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter.
Socialist is the grandma. The point is, it doesn't matter who.
No, it does not. And these people who try to say, oh, the sheriff's trying to meddle in elections. He tries to meddle in rape and murder and family fights and drunk driving and so on and so on and so on. This is a crime. If it happened in his county, he should investigate.
What's the list of crimes that he doesn't have jurisdiction over? Because they make this claim without evidence, though. Show me the list of crimes of criminal activity
that
the sheriff has no jurisdiction over. Oh, yeah, it's in the Constitution, right?
Yeah, counterfeiting, felonies committed on the high seas. Actually, he can help with this one, too. He can help with treason. But treason is a federal offense, especially if it's done by federal agents, which happens all the time, too.
As far as I understand, election fraud criminal activity is not on that list of no-nos for the sheriff. It's not in it. When you talk about general jurisdiction or federal jurisdiction, that's the list. I don't see election criminal activity on there. So it's still in the sheriff's.
It's not on there.
Purview,
it's not on there.
Right? All right.
Of course it is.
I'm just kind of stupid, and I like to run things to ground to get the answers. You know what I'm saying? Redneck stupid. All right, Robert? What do you say to all this, though, Robert? I say the sheriffs absolutely have jurisdiction, and who claim they don't, I want them to come on this radio and TV program and debate me on this. Show me the list of criminal activity the sheriff has no purview for in his own jurisdiction.
Well, my experience here in the little town that I live in of Meadview, Arizona, the town, everyone will say, where in the heck is that? All we have is the sheriff. You know, the sheriff is in Kingman, 60 miles away, and yet they do an excellent job of dealing with everything from domestic problems to stolen cars to, stolen boats out here on Lake Mead, but they're the only enforcement we have. And without them, it would be the Wild West. Yeah. So
I'm just telling you, it's a criminal activity, and we cannot start to say election shenanigans or these mild terms of overreach. We've got to start to call the crime syndicate what it is. This is a highly organized election crime syndicate designed to deep six honest elections, transparent, accountable elections in the United States, Sheriff Mack. That's what we're dealing with, right?
Yes, and we're also dealing with a Secretary of State who's in charge of the elections, who is actually running against Carrie Lake for governor. And she should have announced publicly how she was going to stay out of it and make sure that it was run by competent people. But she should have stayed out of it. And there's no such announcement from her anywhere.
Sheriff, because you don't think that I should be able to adjudicate my own election? Come on, Sheriff.
Yeah. Yeah. Or operate and manage your own election. Because you know,
I like to be in charge like that.
Yeah.
And I would, yeah. And I would add that when Cochise County decided, hey, we're going to mirror our election with a hand count just to kind of make sure, right, and see what happened. She had a visceral, a visceral reaction.
She almost started dropping F-bombs like Tom.
She said, if you do this, we're going to sue you. So you can't do what you want. And it's like, that's not the reaction we all expected.
And I don't see any grounds. I don't see any grounds for an objection or a lawsuit on that. Why wouldn't anybody want to verify the vote? And unless you say, like Stephen Richer, I met with Stephen Richer with Randy Miller, and I actually met with him a couple of days. Maybe
by the way, Randy Miller, the CSPOA state director for Arizona, is who Richard's speaking of. Just so for clarity.
We did a tour of the voting facility of the tabulation center in Maricopa County that has been on the news nationwide so much the last week and a half. It's been absolute crazy how much we saw there. And Stephen Richer was very open, as was Clint Hickman, county board of supervisor. And we saw it all. We were there 2 hours, and we asked our questions. The problem with Richer is he is so infatuated and brainwashed regarding using machines, computers, for tabulation of votes. He says they're more reliable. Obviously, they are not more reliable than hand counting. And so if Cochise County wants to take that and go, we're not sure about these tabulation computers, we want a hand count to make sure. You would think that Katie Hobbs and everybody else in the state would say, go for it. We'd love to see that. And we'd love to prove to all you election deniers, we'd love to prove that you're wrong. But no, they stop it. Just like the audit in Maricopa County back a year and a half ago, the Democrats said, we will totally cooperate, but they sued to stop the audit.
Maybe Stephen Richer's getting richer, and that's the point to be had. I don't know. But I would say to Stephen, when the Pentagon gets hacked, you know computers aren't as reliable as you hope. And if the Pentagon gets hacked, we might have trust.
Yeah. Yeah, we went over all of that. But go ahead, Robert.
Well, the other thing too is you got to remember we're fortunate in Arizona that we have paper ballots. Paper ballots are the true test of what really happened. Yeah. And then a lot of states, they don't have paper ballots, and they have no ability to audit anything.
Well, Robert, let me articulate this slightly. Paper ballots are one of the keys, but they've also got to be matched to some kind of a state ID card and a signature relating to who cast that ballot. There's more to it than that, because ballots are paper, and yes, you can count them again. At least there's a paper trail, but you've got to tie that paper trail to real human, listen carefully, registered voters that are not illegal aliens, that are not dead, that are not too old, and I don't mean to make fun of anybody here, but senile or whatever you want to call it, to vote, etc. You've got to tie it to real people that are real registered American voters as well, Robert.
And that's absolutely true. And I don't know if you saw it recently, my senator, Sonny Borelli, did an outstanding job of pointing out that they finally located, almost magically, 2 years to the day, when the statute of limitations runs out, of course, the images of the envelopes of the mail-in ballots from 2020. And he had a, there's a team that he worked with who went through only 105,000 of those ballots looking at the signature. And whereas before, another person did a results on it and said, well, it was a few thousand, it wouldn't have made a difference. And yet just in 105,000, manually going through every image, they found 22,000 ballots that should not have been allowed to be cast. And they still had 1.5 million envelopes to go. So it's a little bit too late, but you see the same kind of thing happening now, except they did something a little different. They didn't have time to flood the Maricopa County with a bunch of mail-in ballots. So then they found a way to manipulate the way it happens when you do the walk-in, because they know the vast majority of people walking in or walking in their ballots, because they didn't trust the mail, were going to be Republican voters.
Yeah.
Well, and there you have it. That's why I'm calling for a longer preservation of previous election data. Right now, in most cases in the country, as far as I understand, some say it's 22 months, some say it's 23 months. The point is the data is deleted before the next election cycle starts. I maintain they need to keep that data for at least 36 months so that we have the ability to compare this year election, or in other words, midterm elections, with 2 years ago elections, so that we can look for anomalies there as well. But by removing or deleting that stuff at 22 months in, we lose that ability to compare candidly the two election cycles. If you have great anomalies between 2 years ago and now, there's got to be an explanation for that. But they remove the data so that we don't get that, in my opinion, laser-like focus comparative that we're looking for. So we need to retain that data longer, Sheriff Mack.
Yeah, we do. And there should be no compelling reason not to. In fact, there is none. And
there
so
is
another
too.
Thing that
I can't commit vote fraud as easily if you do that.
Yeah. Detection of criminals. But another thing that Robert alluded to, and we probably need to emphasize a little bit more, and that is Stephen Richer, 5 or 6 weeks before the election, announced proudly that we mailed out 1.8 million mail-in ballots, that they mailed all of those out to people who wanted to vote by mail. And then I said, so how do you verify those votes? When they come back in, when people mail those ballots back in, how do you verify that they actually came from the person that's registered to that vote? And you know what he told me? They go through them hand by hand. They go through each one, and some volunteers have to look at the signature of their registration for that person and the signature that's on the envelope and make sure they match. And if they don't, they call the person. I submit that that is a farce, that they do not verify them, that these people are not qualified handwriting specialists. And that they wouldn't know how to do that any more than flying to the moon. So they admit again that there's a system of fraud that's available to people, because anybody could mail in those ballots. And if anybody thinks that 1.8 million ballots were hand examined by people who really know what they're doing to verify signatures, I got beachfront property for you in Omaha, Nebraska. This is crazy. It's insane. And this, again, brings up the point. We should not be doing early voting by mail. And only people who are qualified with infirmment and military service that cannot, maybe my mother-in-law, somebody like that, who's not capable of getting around, but she's totally capable of voting, mentally. She's very sharp. People like that should be the only ones. There should be maybe 50,000 of those in the entire state. But no, they open it up as much as they can to fraud. And isn't that right, Rob?
And if I can add, Sheriff Mack, the system is not what people think it is. Mail-in ballots are sent out to everyone unless you ask not to get a ballot. So by default, everyone gets a mail-in ballot. It's the system is
well,
the opposite.
My wife and I got three each. So we literally had six ballots that we never asked for. Six!
Right.
Six ballots!
So unless you did what
cool,
I did was
that way you can vote early and often,
if
they ask
not to get one, you will.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. See, none of this has helped calm the distrust that we all have in these elections. It made it 10 times worse.
You ready for this, guys? The Attorney General of Arizona now say they cannot certify the vote.
Why?
Because there's problems. They got to get answers first.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I'm not a
big Berkowitz.
Well, people that
General?
I've talked to, yeah. Well, I have people that I've talked to that have experience with the same Attorney General are saying that we need to be a little skeptical and not let our guard down and think, oh, well, somebody's handling it because they're looking into it. Because
exactly.
Those are the same people who turned in Catherine and Greg to the FBI and why they ended
Amen.
Up in jail.
Yeah.
All I know is the Arizona AG says, quote, the election can't be certified. So I agree with Robert. Never let your guard down. Keep an eye on this ball, but it's a good step towards the truth. Robert McDowell, thank you. Sheriff Mack,
thank you,
sir. Thank everyone at Brighteon, and thank all of you for watching. The Posse coming up too. Become a member at CSPOA.org today. God save the Republic.
Regrets? Oh, we're all gonna have them. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do. At some point, you're gonna wish you'd done something differently. You know, the woulda, coulda, shouldas. But let me tell you a couple of things you'll never regret. You'll never regret spending extra time talking to your teenager. Trust me. You'll never regret answering your three-year-old's question about where the water in the bathtub comes from. And I've never seen anyone wish they hadn't sat in the kitchen laughing with their children and telling them goofy stories about when they were kids. Yeah, sure, we're all gonna have regrets, but talking too much with our kids won't be one of them.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at mormon.org.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
All right, back with you live, TV to radio. It doesn't get better than that. Telling the tale of liberty everywhere we go. Sheriff Mack with me, ladies and gentlemen. Think about what we reported on the TV show, Sheriff. We're really saying we're to the point now where the Attorney General of Arizona cannot, listen carefully, cannot certify the results. Now, I agree with Robert McDowell, our guest. We can't let our guard down. That might be a big ruse. But you know what? When have we in our lifetimes, especially when we've been claiming a crime syndicate election fraud scenario, we're going to investigate every county. Now, literally the next election, they say without evidence, next election, they say we can't even certify the results now. Blatantly admitting it openly now. I mean, this is, we're gaining ground, Sheriff. It's now time to double, triple, quadruple our efforts, not back away. We're gaining the upper hand. They said we claim this without evidence. Now, how much more evidence than you want than the Attorney General of a swing state saying, I can't even certify this? Sheriff?
Well, the evidence has been clear all along with this election. And the first thing was tabulation machines were not working. And yet Stephen Richer says they're more reliable than hand counting. They're faster. They're more accurate, he said. They're more accurate.
So I have a question. What happens when they're not working? Are they still more accurate?
Yeah. Are they still reliable? And then Cochise County has the audacity to say, well, we want to verify these machines with a hand count. They should be doing that
hold
in
on,
every
hold
county.
On. And then they say, we'll sue you if you try that. It's the same
exactly.
thing where Arizona That's... says we're not going to let illegals vote. And Biden says, we'll sue you. We'll sue you. We want illegals to vote. What the heck are these people? What more evidence do we want?
Yeah, the insanity, Sam, just keeps marching on. And it's good that you brought that part up because for heaven's sakes, folks, they try to get it done, and Katie Hobbs, a candidate, wants to sue them to not do it. That is absolute insanity. Could you imagine that a Republican candidate would be trying to do that, and what the CNNs of this corrupt media that we have in America, what they would be doing and saying about that?
And then when they're out of arguments, when we call a halt to their con game by producing evidence, they just say, oh, you're a racist. You're a right-wing extremist. You're a domestic terrorist. You're a – in fact, before Harry Reid passed away, he literally called Richard Mack a terrorist. Why? Because we were getting too close to the truth, Sheriff.
Yeah, he did. And so this whole thing, Sam, just reeks with foul play. Conflict of interest.
Yeah, amen.
It's conflict of interest, and conflicts of interest actually can be criminal. Not every time, but in this particular case, it looks like they're heading to criminal. And there's people that are actually calling for charges being made against Stephen Richer.
Well, and they're getting close to racketeering even. Sheriff.
Well, yeah. And I was actually impressed with Stephen Richer when I met him that day with Randy Miller. And Randy said he wasn't. Randy didn't give him the benefit of the doubt on anything. But I thought they were working
really
hard.
And that's because when you literally tell me with a straight face that election machines are more reliable, when we've seen on TV shows even, on TV,
right.
In congressional hearings, that people can hack into those in literally seconds.
Right.
How can you with a straight face tell me what you're saying to me? I mean, look, you just can't lie to me like that. The proof is too irrefutable at this point, is it not?
Well, it certainly was ironic that the first thing that happens on Tuesday morning, 2 weeks ago today, the first thing that happens is those machines failed.
After they claim they tested them the night before, and they were, quote, supposedly certified.
They couldn't even get the printers working. They couldn't even get the printers working that put out the ballots to people.
Yeah.
And
Don't worry, you got three of them at your house, Sheriff. We don't need to print one for you. See, it's just insanity, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we're talking about. That wraps up the simulcast between the Sheriff Mac Show and Liberty Roundtable Live. Every Tuesday on brighteon.tv and lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, share the love. Second hour of Liberty Roundtable Live coming up. Sheriff Mack will stay with me. And then the posse's coming up later today, too. Check that out at cspoa.org. If you want to get updates from us in text, text the letter CSPOA to 53445 and join the CSPOA update list via text messages. For Sheriff Richard Mack, Sam Bushman, God save the Republic.